Exciting week for us, and in honor of Lee's forthcoming marriage to Lorna, I thought that it would be appropriate for us to take a look at a sugya which is both embedded in this week's parasha and also that is Zman Grama very much on our minds. So if for a minute you'll turn the page and look at source number 4 on the top, just by way of an introduction, you'll see why I didn't put this as the first source. The She'iltot is a Gaonic work in Aramaic, which was composed in the 9th century, and it represents the public teaching of Rav Chai Gaon in the Yeshivot. But what he did was something that sort of set the tone for later works, most notably the Sefer HaChinuch, is that he spoke on each parasha on a halachic issue related to the parasha. Now, that's not always easy, especially in Breishit. So, in Parshat Breishit, he discusses the mitzvah Puravu. In Parshat Lecha, he talks about Brit Milah. Those are easy, right? And then sometimes a little bit more difficult to push. In Vayeshev, he goes on a tangent about Chanukah, the long of Chanukah there. It's very nice. In Parshat Chayei Sarah, he talks about two things. He talks about funerary customs and weddings for obvious reasons, because the death and burial of Sarah on the one hand and the matchmaking and subsequent marriage of Rivka, which of course is the most developed and longest, I wouldn't say exact courtship, although some authors like to talk about the wooing of Rivka, but it is a long parasha dealing with getting Rivka and her family to agree. And last year we talked about looking at the story from Rivka's point of view and what she actually thought was going on and how that impacted later on. But if you take a look at source 4, and the Shilta would be one full page in small print. I didn't put it in, but Shilta, the Ilaman Deboy Leminsav Itata, Mitbaile, Likudushe, Beresha, Ovruche, Birchat Erusin, Basara, Ovruchat Chatanim, Basara, Omimsalak Tubata, etc., etc., etc. And so if somebody wants to get married, first has to do birchat, has to do erusin, and there's birchat erusin, which we know is asher kitshom esadav tzimano ala rayot, basalanu tarutzot, right? And you need a minyan for birchat erusin, and then he mentions birchat chatanim, which is going to be our focal point, ba'asarat. Now, his mention of it here, again, is just tied up with the fact that Rivka gets married in this parsha. We never hear about Sarah's marriage. We only hear really about Leah and Rachel's marriage in sort of a negative context, which is of the deception. By the way, we never hear about Moshe's marriage. You just hear Moshe got married to Tzipor. We don't hear any details about that marriage. So really, Rivka's marriage to Yitzchak is the one that we hear most information about, although there's not a whole lot about that. We don't know who the caterer was. We don't know how big the band was. And one other source that I want to show you, which is also from the same time period. We have in the past looked at different selections from some of the Masechtot Ketanot, as they're commonly called, which is the small, quote, a Mishnaic type Masechtot, which are really from the 9th century or so, the Babylonian collections, which are typically printed in a shas at the end of the last volume of Nezikin. Ravot and Ediotar, so you have Masechet Smachot and Masechet Sofrim, Masechet Kalan, Masechet Derech Eretz, Masechet Gerim, all sorts of things which are a sort of a compendium of practical rules dealing with that area of life. Masechet Sofrim, by the way, which we've seen numerous times because it mentions some of the variations on Shir Shalom, has a lot of the customs that we're familiar with from Beit HaKnesset mentioned in there. So in Masechet Kalah, which is all of one parak, not big Masechet, and it's called Kalah because the first word is Kalah, and it's really about marriage. Kalah below bracha, source 5, Kalah below bracha, surah leba'ala kinida. So Kalah below bracha, we're not exactly sure what that means. We'll pretend we don't know what it means for a minute, but it means that she's not allowed to have relations with her husband without having the bracha. And the comparisons to a nida, and then it goes on in sort of midrash halacha form, ma nida shelo tavla sura lebala, just like a nida did not go to the mikvah, cannot be with her husband. Af kala below bracha sura lebala, similarly a kala is not allowed to be with her husband if she hasn't yet had a bracha. Now, what's this bracha? So the Braita here says the following: Uminayin lebirchat chatanim min haTorah. Now that's a loaded term. Minayin, of course, means what's the source. So what are they asking? Minayin lebirchat chatanim min haTorah. What's the question here?
What's the source of this rule from the Torah?
Right. What's the source of this rule from the Torah is usually what that means. In other words, you're claiming something is d'oraita, and we don't know a pasuk that says it, so what's your source to claim it's from the Torah? It's mandated by the Torah. Here it may mean that, it may mean something else. Here it may mean, where is the idea found that when a couple gets blessed, gets married, we bless them? Maybe. But the quote is Shinemar, and the quote is from this week's parasha. Vayivarchu et Rivka vayomru la achotenu atayil alfer vavav yirar zarech et shar sonav. So the family, presumably Lavan and Betuel, bless Rivka as she's leaving with the slave and with her and the slave's men and her maids in waiting. As they all get on the camels to go, the family gives her a bracha, and the bracha is this bracha: Atayil alfei revava, you should become numerous, ten thousands and tens of thousands, and virash zarech et shar sonav, and your children should conquer their enemies' gates. In other words, they should be successful in war. Okay, and then the Braita goes on. Uminayin shafilu almana asura. In other words, here we're looking at Rivka. Rivka has clearly never been married before. Ish lo yada'at. And she's going off to get married, so we understand. So the Braita then continues, says, how do we know that an almana, meaning a woman who already was married and is now remarrying, that she also needs a bracha? And they bring proof from the most famous almana getting married, which is Rut. Right? And they tell the story, we're going to come back to that pasuk. Boaz, at the beginning of the fourth chapter of Rut, assembles 10 elders. And he gets them together, and he then publicly presents to the Goel, Naomi's selling the field, and you're first in line, and do you want the field? And he says, yes, I do. And he says, oh, when you get to the field, you got to take Rut too. And then he backs off, and he passes it off to Boaz, and then they do the shoe thing, whatever that, whoever picks off whose shoe. And then Boaz declares his intent to marry Rut, and on the spot, the people of the towns who assembled, who confirm what they saw by saying edim, then immediately go into yitena Adonai ta'isha ba'a betacha ki Rachel chaya shebanu mishter beit Yisrael. Beautiful bracha that we'll take a look at in a minute on the first page.
He was a shuler.
So you, what you see is that the is that this notion of birchat chatanim, a bracha to be said somewhere around or before the actual marriage or before the consummation of the marriage, has its roots in the Torah and has its roots in ancient history, as recorded in Megillat Rut. Yeah, Jason.
The 10 people that are by Boaz, was that 10 required?
We're going to see that. That's going to come up. So if you turn back, I want to show you three passages. It's not exactly three pasukim because in one case it's more than one pasuk. I'm going to take you to what seems like a very odd choice for a source, but you'll see why I brought it in. In the very first chapter of Bereshit, God creates man, capital M, as male and female. And then, Vayivarech Otam Elohim, God blesses them. Vayomer Lehem Elohim, Puruvum Milu Et Haaretz V'Chivshua. And translation is there, we all know. And then they have dominion over the land, etc., etc. Okay? Pasuk number one. Pasuk number two is the pasuk that we just saw in the story of Rivka and her family. And pasuk number three, which is really a few pasukim, is, and I translated the relevant parts, is what the women assembled, or the people assembled in Beit Lechem say to Boaz, really. It's unclear if Ruth is even there, because Boaz goes, Naomi tells Ruth, stay home, Boaz will take care of things. Boaz is at the gate, Boaz negotiates publicly with the Goel, and the Goel originally agrees to buy the field, and then when Ruth is presented as part of the package deal, he backs off of the whole thing, and Boaz then gets everybody to agree that they've seen this, and then the people declare bracha. The interesting thing is, Rut doesn't seem to be there. So this bracha seems to be a necessary preface to the marriage, and you see what the preface is. Now notice, what's the bracha, going back to the beginning, what's the bracha given to man, capital M at creation. What? Purvu. One of, and there's more, purvu. Umilu ta'aretz, v'chivshua urdu v'gatayam. In other words, not only to become fruitful and multiply, but to have dominion and power. What's the bracha given to Rivka? Sort of the same thing. Purvu v'chivshua, because it's different words. You should become tens of thousands, and your children should conquer their enemies' gates. Again, power and control. Now, what happens in Beilachem? It becomes much more narrow in scope. I'm saying that she should be like Rachelah, who built Beit Yisrael. I say, she should be famous in the district, in the Gush, basically. Now, Peretz is a real central name because the Partzi family lives in Beit Lechem. They were all B'nai Peretz. And of course, ultimately, David is going to come from this. But the one thing that this has in common with the first two is it's about having kids. It's about having kids. Okay. So that said, and of course, in anticipation of Jason being here, which was last week, I put down a few questions. I would have put seven questions, just, you know, thematically, but I didn't have room, so I kept it for really. I played a lot. Yeah, but in the Pesach's not a wedding thing. So, in any case, the first question I want to ask is, in the second two cases, who is being blessed? I mean, the simple read of it is that the focal point of the blessing is the couple. Right. Certainly, that's the case in the first. God is blessing the couple. Right. So that's what we would think. The problem with that is because we are seeing these as the source of birchat chatanim. Okay. And so now, question two, I already kind of jumped the gun on, but I really wanted to get to question three. Birchat chatanim is what we commonly call shavu brachot. Shavu brachot, by the way, is a misnomer. It's a misnomer because how many brachot are there? There's seven, so why is it a misnomer? Because one of them is Borei Pri Hagafen, which really is not the Berchat Chatanim, it's that Berchat Chatanim need a kos. Right? Like Kiddush needs a kos, and Brit Milah needs a kos, and Bidyan Aveh needs a kos, and Berchat Erusin needs a kos. So Berchat Chatanim needs a kos. So put them all together, you get seven. Right? By the way, what's the singular of Sheva Brachot? I have heard people sit there and say, I got invited to a Sheva Bracha. The answer is there is no such thing as a singular for several. It's Sheva Brachot, right? I got invited, if you want to really be technical, I got invited to a meal at which Sheva Brachot are anticipated to be recited. Yeah, but that, of course, takes a long time. By that time, you could finish three of the Brachot. Question is, what's the function of Sheva Brachot? Because think about this. If the Brachot, the Brachat Chatanim, are anchored in these Psukim, and in these Psukim, who are we blessing? The couple, then where is that in Berchat Chatanim? In Berchat Chatanim, who are we blessing? So we'll look at the wording of Berchat Chatanim, think back however many years you need to go to either your own wedding or your kid's wedding, and say Shema Brachot in your head, and who are we blessing? Baruch Atah Hashem L'chol Cholam Yotzer Ha'adam. Hashem L'chol Cholam Asher Yotzer Ha'adam Mitzalom. Shakol Bara L'chvodah. Who are we blessing? We're blessing God. So how's this fit from there? How does Berchat Chatanim, and I know you're going to say, well, maybe there's some other thing called Berchat Chatanim. What we're doing here is called Sheva Brachos. No, because what we refer to as Berchat Chatanim is what we also call Sheva Brachot, and it's referred to that way in the literature. The Braita says, we're going to see it in a couple minutes, Mevarchim Berchat Chatanim Basara, that's talking about Sheva Brachot. So, it's a big jump to go from here, where we're blessing the couple, to there, when we're blessing God. How'd that happen? And that's what I want to cut into, because I want to ask the last question, which is, you notice the Birchat Chatanim is repeated numerous times. It could be repeated as many as 20 times or more, because you have a wedding, right? And then at the end of the meal of the wedding, it's repeated. And the next morning there's some festive breakfast and it's repeated. And then some festive lunch and it's repeated. And you could do it literally, not infinite because you get sick, but you could do it literally 100 times during the course of the week. Typically people only have a festive meal every evening, maybe on Shabbat more, so maybe 10 times. But think about it. Why are we doing it 10 times? Do we have any other brachot that kick that way? It's a bracha for an occasion, but every time that we relive that occasion or that we re-continue the celebration of that occasion, we do it again? We don't. So I know you're going to say, well, every night that we light Hanukkah candles, we make a bracha. Yes, but there we're making a bracha on a mitzvah. Brachat mitzvah, we're doing the mitzvah again, right? And part of that mitzvah is to view it and be reminded of the nes, so the mitzvah generates all a shas anisi. Right? Yeah. Yeah, and you do it because this morning I wasn't dressed and I got dressed, and this morning I was lying down and now I'm standing up, and my feet weren't on the ground, they're on the ground, which is why if you take a red eye, a lot of the brachot really don't apply to you, right? Unless it's first class and you got in pajamas and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
But Shabbat brachot, I thought, evolved as the communities getting together. And that's why you need the new faces each night?
No, but they didn't evolve. Meaning, I'm not sure when...
It wasn't about the couple as much as about the communities.
I'm not sure when you say evolve what you mean, like from when to when. But the rule of saying Birchat Chatanim at every meal, and we're going to see even more than that during that week, is in a Braita very early. And the idea of Panim Chalashot is in that Braita. So let's see what that's about.
Did you mean because you invite a stranger to that?
So we're going to see whether strangers actually work. Not so simple. All right, we're not going to go into the technical halachot here. But I want to point you to... I'm going to jump down to source 8. I originally had 7 sources. I was really excited about that. But then there was another one that snuck in that I had to put in, so I'm stuck. I wanted to stick with the number 7. But take a look at source 8. And then we're going to go back to 6 and 7 because I think it may give us a whole different angle on Shabbat Brachot, on Birchat Chatanim, and what it's about. Source 8 is the central sugya in Talmud Bavli about Birchat Chatanim. And again, I'm not going to call it Shabbat Brachot because I think it's misleading, but Birchat Chatanim. Tanu Rabbanan, Mevarchin Birchat Chatanim Ba'asara Kol Shiv'ah. What does that mean? We recite Birchat Chatanim, you need a minyan for it, and it's all 7 days. Okay? Amar Rav Yehuda, v'hu shebaw panim chadashot. So you understand, panim chadashot is very old. What does panim chadashot mean?
Somebody who was not at the other one.
Right, so does it mean that anybody who was not at the previous simcha, meaning somebody who wasn't at the wedding, comes in and that's good enough? Many Rishonim say no. Many Rishonim say that it has to be somebody for whom you increase the meal or the festivity because of their presence. It means it has to be somebody whose their presence actually makes this a more festive thing.
The president showed up.
What? The president. No, the rabbi of the shul couldn't make it to the wedding, so the rabbi comes. A grandfather couldn't come, and you go to his hometown, have Shabbat Brachot, you know, Berachat Chatanim, right? But not, you know, you grab some waiter and tell him to come on in, sit down, so there's a new... No, people do that.
But what does that right? sentence mean?
This is only as long as there's panim chadashot, okay. Right? Now, ma'ayim v'arech.
Does that mean two people or even...
No, panim is singular.
So if you don't have panim chadashot, you don't do the shabbat.
Right. Now, what do you do? We're going to see. It's not so simple that it's not totally knocked out. Parenthetically, and it's just a side halachic thing, but one of great interest, is what happens if the chatan and kala are at a meal during the week where there's 100 people? They're at a shabbaton. Do you say shabbat brachot? This is you actually don't.
Why not?
Because the meal has to be a meal in their honor.
Yeah.
It's not that they're at a meal with a minyan. They're at a meal that's given in their honor. I mean, we had this question because we got married on a Sunday, and the following Shabbat we were invited to a bar mitzvah lunch, and I called Rav Schachter. I said I was worried because I didn't want to come to lunch and Shabbat. It would you know, first, I didn't say first there. How do you say first there? It would... Disturb their simcha. It's not fair. He said, no, there's no reason to say Shabbat Brachot. The lunch is not for you, it's for them.
Do they both have to be there for the Shabbat Brachot to be recited?
Oh, do the Chatan and Kala both have to be there? Evidently, yes. As far as I know, even in those places where they have extremely separate celebrations, I mean different floors of the hotel. I mean, you ever know those? I believe they bring the kala in. They wouldn't bring the chatan in, but they bring the kala in to the room to be there for the Shabbat Brachot.
She's
You've never seen a kollel brought in?
No, it's two separate floors.
Oh, okay, but it does exist. Okay, so let's take a look at this. I'm Rav Yehuda. Jason, you have not, lived.
That's quite a chitzah.
I'm Rav Yehuda. Here in L.A., I was at a wedding, at two weddings, I guess. I'm Rav Yehuda. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. And then, Shal Kol Bara Lichvodo. Now notice, these brachot are a little bit strange. First of all, they're brachot that we never say any other time. The thing I want to plug in the back of my mind is, what is this? Like, if you see a rainbow, you say a bracha, because Chazal said, this is Berachat HaShevach, you're seeing a reminder of God's breath and something beautiful. If you see a gorgeous mountain, a gorgeous... if you quote gorgeous valley, beautiful river, something like that, you say, Osem HaSev Rishid. You hear thunder, right? Kochon Gvotam Elei Olam, the lightning. There's all sorts of events for which you're saying a bracha. It's called Berachat HaShevach. You're praising God for natural events. All right. Sometimes, for instance, a lot of people don't know this. If you see a new village in Israel that was established, you say a bracha. Baruch Atah Olam Shematziv Gvul Almana, who establishes the territory of the Almana. All right. There's beautiful brachot that we have, and the brachot HaShavach, but all of them are one bracha. And in a couple cases, we add Boy Paragafen because we have to have a cup of wine.
Are you saying the one
right?
Today?
What?
Bracha for the puddles?
I don't know what that is. Anyhow, so... Okay, so later. Okay, later.
The breath of the rainbow.
Okay, much later. Good. Okay, so I want you to look at this. This is strange. And we think Sheva Bracha, we are automatically, there's seven of them. Why is there anything more than one bracha? In other words, you want to say, let's praise God for marriage. So the beautiful bracha, it's the big one at the end. And Mori Paragafen, fine. Where are these other ones coming from? So, Shakol Bara Lichvodo, everything is created for God's glory. Yotzer HaAdam, He creates man. Asher Yatzar Et Adam B'Tzalmo, B'Tzalm Dmut Tavnito, B'Kinlon Menu B'Nyad Adiyad, Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer HaAdam. So, a bracha about Him creating man and then building man's future from himself, right, as it were. And then, Sos Tassis V'Tagel HaKara B'Kibbutz Banel Tocha B'Simcha, right, barren woman should rejoice as her children are brought together. This is clearly referring to Yerushalayim. Samech Tzion Bevaneha. And then Samech Tesamach Re'im Ha'uvim K'samech Ha'yitzir Ha'began Eden Mikedem. So you beloved friends should rejoice just like God elated you in Gan Eden. Hashem Samech Chatan V'Chala. And that's going to be the key line in this whole thing. And then Baruch Hashem L'Kodoh Ha'olam Asher Baras Hasom Nesimcha Chatan V'Chala Gila Rinat Ditzav V'Chedva. God created all of these beautiful emotions of harmony and love and friendship. This is almost directly lifted out of Yirmiyahu, Lamed Gimel, with the Nevuah. This place where you say is desolate, when soon we'll have the sound of all of these. Young men celebrating and singing. Baruch Atah Hashem Sameach Chatan. Im hakala. Now, what's the difference between the end of bracha 6 and 7? One is mesameh chatan v'chala, which means he elates both of them. And mesameh chatan im hakala means he elates them with each other. Not the same. But what's this all about? So I'm going to, just to cut to the chase, I'm going to quickly just summarize outside of the text what happens in the next paragraph, and then we're going to look at the very end inside. The story about Levi coming to a wedding, and he was asked to say the brachot. He said five, meaning there's six. So he said five, right?
The
student of Rebbe.
Oh, okay.
Ravasi came and he said six. So we said, what's the difference between them? The answer is, are they questioning whether or not man and woman are created in one shot or in two shots? They said no. Everybody agrees it was one shot. And they do something here which is remarkable because they're essentially responding to the documentary hypothesis, although they wouldn't know to call it that. What's the starting place for everybody with the documentary hypothesis? Bereshit, right? And one of the questions you ask is, how was woman created? So in chapter 1, she's created with man as one unit. In chapter 2, the male is alone and then the female is taken from him. And so the way that they read it is very simply. Chapter 1 was the intent. Chapter 2 was actually happened. There's one shot. They kind of knock it all down. And the question is, do we look at the intent, where it was one creation, But we look at the practicality, which is two creations, so do we say Yotzer Hadam, and that's all?
You don't accept that.
Or Yotzer Hadam, Asher Yotzer Hadam, and some of, do you look at the plan and the ideal? Is that what you praise? But either way, that's how they solve it.
So which one did Levi not
say? What?
Which one?
I'm going to guess that Levi did not say number two. Because Levi would say, we follow the Machshava, and the Machshava is that God intended male and female to be created as one. That's what we're blessing him for. So we say, Yotzer Hadam, right? And Ravasi says, yes, that was the intent, so we say that. But we also say the other one, because in practice, he created a woman from man as a separate creation. And then we have a story of Ravashi. Now, this is something I've never seen happen, but Ravashi came to this house, and he was there, and there was a chatan kala. He said all the brachot the first day. From then on, he said, Ika panim chalashot barach kulu, if there was panim chalashot, and again, likely means somebody important that came and they made the feast bigger for them. He said all the whole series. V'ilo afushe simcha ba'almahu. If not, then it's just more simcha. So what do you do? Look at that. So that means, that's why you asked, if there's no new person. So he said, if there's no new person, you still say shasimcha bimono in Zimun, and you say asher bara, which means asher bara, the big bracha at the end, sits by itself, which, by the way, is why it has a pticha, because it could be said independently of the rest. I'm sure you've never seen it. I've never seen it. For somebody at the end of a meal to say, well, there's nobody here today, so we'll just say asher bara. Nobody knew. Now, watch this. How long does Birchat Chatanim last?
7 days.
I'd be surprised. Mishiva v'yad shloshim. You thought shloshim was only for Avelut. From after the 7 days till the end of 30 days from the wedding, Bein amar lehu machmat hilul, vein lo amar lehu machmat hilul, v'varech shasim chabamono. Let's say people come to a meal and the chatan and kala are there, and it wasn't made for more festivities for the wedding, but they came. Then you still say shasimcha bimono. Mikan vayelach. After 30 days, he amar lehu machmat hilul v'varech shasimcha bimono v'lo lo. Which means if people come 6 months later for a gather, a reception for the chatan and kala who took a whirlwind 6 month honeymoon and now got back and there's a big reception for them, you still say shasimcha bimono. Not the brachot, but shasimcha bimono. Right?
You mean that one sentence? What do you mean?
In the zimun. Right, you add that little line in, which signifies that this meal is to some extent a festivity of the chatan and kala. And then they said, so how long does that last? The answer is 12 months. From mashlak avelut, shiva shloshim
yibichodesh. That sounds also like the custom goes down using honey on challah.
Right, so some people, I was at somebody's house, I'd never heard the minute before. This summer we were at somebody's house, no, in June, somebody's house for Shabbat in Cleveland. And lovely people, and they've been married for close to 30 years, and they use honey every Shabbos. And so when they got married, somebody told them that, you know, Shana Rishona, you use honey to have a sweet marriage. I said, okay, good, why give it up? And they continue, it's great. They're lovely people. Anyhow, so we have really a lot of questions here. Question one, what is Birchat Chatanim that we say we're blessing God? What does that have to do with Birchat Chatanim in Torah, which is people blessing the Chatan and Kalat? The second thing is, what is this whole series of brachot? Again, whenever we make a bracha, the bracha is one line. One bracha might be more than a line. We have very few series of brachot. We have a series of brachot called benching. But that's because the Torah says you got to thank God for the food and for the land and Yerushalayim. Okay, that's doraita. We have a series of brachot after the haftarah, which is a little unclear why that is. But typically when we praise God, we have a bracha. We thank him. Sometimes you have to say it on a kos. Hamavdil, so you say Baruch Berpeg often first. We want you to smell something nice, so you say that. Want you to see a candle, fine, but you're saying one bracha, Hamavdil, my God is the whole. What is this whole series about? So I don't have a full answer for this, but I'd like to make a suggestion that is maybe a starting point for looking at Birchat Chatanim a little differently. If you take a look at source number 6, the Gemara at the end of the first parak of Masachet Sota, towards the end of the first parak, quotes a very famous drasha by Rabbi Chami Rabbi Chanina, and it's often confused with another drasha of Abba Shaul in Shabbat, Abba Shaul and Shabbat darshans on the pasuk ze eliv yanvehu, as not anvehu but ani vahu. I'm going to be like God. Mahu rachum afata rachum, just like God's compassionate, be compassionate. Just like He's gracious, you be gracious. Right? This is similar but not the same. He says as follows. The pasuk says, "Acharei Adonai Elohechem telechu, follow God." He said, "V'chi afshar lo l'adam lalech achar shechina, can you follow God?" V'kvar ne'amaki Adonai Elohecha esh ochlahu, he's an all-consuming fire. How do you follow God? Ela lahalech achar midotav shel hakadosh baruch hu, you should follow His characteristics. What's that? Mahu malbish arumim, and then they quote a pasuk where God makes clothes for Adam and Chava. So you should clothe the naked. Afatav shem. Hakadosh baruch hu biker cholim. Where's that? Vayera la Adonai be'elonim amrei, famous drasha. And that is in the pasuk in this week's parsha. That's nichum avilim. And then, of course, Baruch Hu kavar mitim. Where's that? The end of the Torah, where Hashem buries Moshe. Right. So, in other words, this drasha is not talking about developing divine characteristics, but following divine actions, actually. Do what God does in kindness and reaching out. Not saying, please destroy worlds and bring worldwide floods. That, you know, leave that to God. But do the things that God does on a helping level. Okay, nice. Which brings us to source 7, which is, thankfully, number 7 is really the end of the road. Meaning, it'll bring us home. It's a midrash in Bereishit Rabbah at the beginning. Amar b'yavau, natal HaKadosh Baruch Hu kos shel bracha uverchan. This is talking about when God created man and woman. He took a kos shel bracha, meaning, now in one picture, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a cup, and you can imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, it's not big enough, kashir. Take a kos shel bracha, and He blesses them. Amar Yehuda, Rabbi Simon, Michael, Gabriel, him ayu shushpinin shel Adam Rishon. They have a beautiful image, lots of beautiful imagery in the Midrash about the marriage of Adam and Chava. And then Gabriel and Michael are the two groomsmen who accompany him. I'm Rabbi Simloi. Here we go. Matzinu shahakadosh baruch hu. Look at this. Mevarech chatanim. Umekashet kalot. He also beautifies and dresses up kalot. Umevaker cholim mekover mitim. And it goes on to that other list of all those other things. And then, mevarech chatanim minayin vayvarech otam Elohim. How do we see that God blesses chatanim? Pasuk 1 on the other page. Vayvarach otam Elohim, vayomer lahem, puravu. So what's berachat chatanim? It's God blessing the chatan and kala that they should have a fruitful life and successful progeny, etc. God does that. So now, what I'd like to make the following suggestion. When we do berachat chatanim, we are following the dictate of halech achar midotav. It's unlike any other bracha we make. It's not like the bracha on the rainbow, and it's not like Shasa Nisim on Chanukah, and it's not Shechianu when we see a new fruit or a friend we haven't seen in a long time, or whatever it may be. It is a bracha in which we are imitating God because God blesses the chatan and kala. And so the first part of it is for us to associate the event we're celebrating with God. How do we do that? Shakol bara lichvado, everything was created for God. Yotzer hadam, God created man. And God created man in such a fashion that He actually created man's mate from Himself. And then what do? After Asher Yotzer, sos tasis, we bless them that they should be part of the ingathering of the exiles. Their children should be part of being brought back to Tzion. And then we bless them that they should be elated by God, because we're speaking on God's behalf. And therefore, how do we end it? Mesameach chatan v'chala. God elates the bride and the groom. And then we give them the biggest bracha of all, which is, you should be mesameach each other. So essentially, we are acting on behalf of God at the brachot. So what happens over the course of the next week, and in some cases even longer, when somebody comes whose presence enhances the simcha? They're coming because you got married, but I was out of town, and I had an important meeting, or lo aleinu, somebody was sick, and I had to go visit them, and I couldn't be at your wedding, but I'm here to celebrate with you. right? And in the ideal of all worlds, and I'm saying this totally off of halachic radar, but in the ideal of all worlds, we'd give the panim chadashot the kos. And they'd be the one to say, well, I didn't get a chance to do this yet, now I'm going to do it. But their presence already revives the simcha and revives the opportunity, for it's like that first blush, and it takes us all the way back to creation, when God blessed the first couple. And ever since then, it's our job to bless the couple and to convey, as it were, God's blessings. And so Birchat Chatan, therefore, needs a minyan. How do we know minyan? Where do we know minyan from? So the Mishnah Megillah says, there's a list of things you need a minyan for. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk says, V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. I will be sanctified, which is why Kaddish and Kedusha need a minyan. I'll be sanctified among B'nai Yisrael. And based on Psukim, we find B'toch means among ten.
I like that,
right?
Sodom went all the way down to ten and no further.
But that's not the source in the Gemara. The source in the Gemara is V'nikdashti b'toch B'nai Yisrael.
It's a minimum community.
It could be. It could be that the two correlate. V'nikdashti b'toch B'nai Yisrael, which means when you need a minyan, what is it recognizing? That you are bringing God's presence there. When you're saying Birchat Chatanim, you're actually representing God's presence, who's blessing the couple. And that's why this bracha, or series of brachot, is really in a whole different category than what we're accustomed to. So, of course, we want to wish Lee and Lorna many, many happy years together. That's our Birchat Chatanim.
But the Gemara in Maseches Challah,
yeah,
it doesn't refer to the Sheva Brachas as being the Birchas in the Torah.
Yeah.
Talks about what Rivka.
Right. Exactly.
So
in other words, the idea that we convey good wishes to the couple, they're seeing as anchored from there, right? But the midrash in Bereshit Rabbah, which is actually earlier in the Kala, believe it or not, the midrash in Bereshit Rabbah anchors Berchat Chatanim in Vayvarchotam Elohim, right? So it seems like why the Braita and Masachet Kala didn't pick that is, how do we see that people bless a Chatan and Kala? So the first people we see doing that is Rivka. But the notion of Rechat Chatanim seems to go back all the way to creation.
And Almanas don't have Sheva Brachot.
They have Sheva Brachot. They don't have seven days. There's a lot of confusion about Sheva Brachot and 7 days. They're not the same. Because at every wedding, you have to have Sheva Brachot away. It's not a wedding without Sheva Brachot. Kala b'lo bracha, sola b'ala k'nida, whether in b'tul ar mana. How many days of simcha do you have? So that's the sugyan k'tubot, just before this, about bachurim b'tula, bachurim almana, almonu b'tula, right, whether it's 7 days or 3 days. It's typically either 1 day or 7 days, depending on him. And then malacha is dependent on her. It's 3 days or 7 days of the day of malacha. But in any case, just wanted to say that we're obviously all b'kol achad, you know, in one unified voice, wishing Lee and Lorna tremendous happiness, and we're excited to celebrate with them, and we want to convey our brachot to them.